Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Overreaction Monday, the end of the NFL season. We've been breaking down the Jets situation. It's like the way it ended was just depressing.
Yeah, but they'll win the offseason.
Frustrating.
They'll win the offseason like they did last year.
Did they, though?
They did.
I mean, had a good draft.
They had a great free agency, too.
Great?
Yeah. I mean, DJ Reed.
Why did it result in a losing season?
I mean, that tells you how far they had to come. With all the picks they hit on damn near every free agent they brought in.
Yeah.
Whether, Vinnie Curry finally being able to play. You got productivity from Carl Lawson. Now, he maybe didn't have the dominant season that you expected.
Right.
But he still played well. DJ Reed, to me, should be all pro this year.
Yeah.
He should have been all pro.
He and Sauce are tremendous together.
Might be the best cornerback duel in the league.
That's as good as when you had Cromartie and Revis.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
I mean, since.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Well, I can't say since.
You did have Ty Law and...
excuse me?
Ty Law.
Uh-huh.
And Revis, didn't you? For a second?
Yeah, but...
Okay.
Never mind.
I know. I just wanted to throw
Do you remember...
Because you didn't give me the name Sciatica.
I couldn't find it either. So you remember the Terrio lookalike kid that is in that meme, the side-eye look at Popeyes?
Yeah, yellow shirt.
Big on Vine and then... Became like something that if you just said Vine. I know, that's how old it is.
That lets you know how old it is.
That's what I'm saying. But when you are like sending a text or something, you want to use a meme to someone, like a side eye meme.
Yeah, what you talking about, Willis?
Like he comes up. This kid comes up.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's not a kid anymore. He's now an offensive tackle in college. He's playing, is it D2, maybe D3? Lake Erie College.
Oh, he in D2. He up in Michigan.
No, okay.
Lake Mary, or he on the other side. No, Lake Erie is on the Michigan side.
Lake Erie,
Chicago
like
side.
New York, and yeah, on that end maybe. I don't know. But he's. Did you know he was from East Orange, New Jersey?
Oh, no.
Nobody knew because he's a meme.
That's up in the hood.
So he's 6'1", 330.
Yeah, he's a ball of fun.
Now, I want to say his name right. Is it a Diernest?
Man, listen. You have to be careful when you look at these African-American names, man, because... A lot of our parents did not win the spelling bee. So they kind of throw stuff together, throw apostrophes over there, semicolons, all kind of commas. You know, they don't even have a comma sometimes, man, and they capitalize the next letter. Like, bro, how did you...
So he goes to social media, and he adds Popeyes, because the meme is him at Popeyes doing a side eye. And he just said, at Popeyes, I just want to talk business.
Oh.
He wants NIL. He's smart.
See, but he probably needed
recognizable face.
He probably needed to be at a bigger college to get that NIL.
If he was at
Rutgers,
that's a very popular meme.
I know, and they own it, and they ain't had to pay him a dime. So why would I pay you now?
Well, Popeyes doesn't own it.
What I'm saying, it draws people to Popeyes.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
he's D2, so maybe he can step his game up, and then
go into the portal.
Yeah, get into the portal.
Bigger school.
Get into the portal, then come holler at him. You might get a couple $1 million if you become the new face of the chicken sandwich. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I just, like I said,
I love the way these
young athletes
think
now. It's kind of amazing to think about. He's a college student. Like, he was a kid when this, first became
a
thing.
Try to get the bat.
And we forget, people do age, kids grow up, but it's just mind blowing. It's like, wow, he's in college and. Yeah, he probably should try to get a little something out of this.
You mean the Olsen twins aren't still babies and talking to Uncle Jesse?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Shame, but it's true. Yeah. A couple of things. Again, waiting on Jeremy Fowler is going to join us. We'll go around the league. Some news around the NFL. So there's now 5 head coaching jobs open. Cliff Kingsbury out with the Arizona Cardinals.
And they're going to pay him for 4 years.
And their GM, Steve Keim, who also had taken a leave with the team to deal with health issues, he is now stepping down as GM. So they've got... Their whole hierarchy now.
The last man standing is Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Everybody got paid last year. I think Keim got paid up his show promise.
Yep.
And they caved in to Kyler Murray. And basically because they caved in Kyler Murray because Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray has the same agent. Now 1 year later, 2 of the 3 that was responsible for paying everybody is gone. And Kyler Murray is sitting there and you're facing one of the richest contracts. Not knowing what the hell to do.
What do they do?
To be Sean Payton.
But think, he's going to have a lot of suitors.
It is so
clearly. And if I'm him, you mentioned earlier, And we'll talk to Fowler about this. If you're Sean Payton, you're not in any hurry. Because as the playoffs go on and teams lose, better options could start to appear.
Yeah.
And you definitely want to be available for that. Because the Rams, McVay, there's word that he doesn't want to really stay there anymore.
Would he want to take that job? No, I don't think that's an attractive job.
The Chargers,
you got no money, no picks.
Yeah. Would the Chargers be better? Brandon Staley playing guys in a game that doesn't mean anything. Some guys get banged up.
Staley to me
feels like a coach that
he was on thin ice.
Yeah, like even though they have success, it's like, man, shouldn't they be better?
Right. Like, and if they lose to Justin Herbert and Doug Peterson, that may be because they went all in. They played J.C. Jackson. They made the trade for Khalil Mack. Like, they went out and they got Corey Lindsey a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Eckler, who's one of the best dual threat.
All right, let's bring Fowler in on this conversation. The aforementioned Jeremy Fowler joining
us right now. I was tired of feeling, sir. No, I'm just playing.
What's going on, man? How you doing? Busy day, right?
I know his phone is on fire.
Yeah.
What's up, gentlemen? It is busy, although this could be – you're talking about the Chargers. This could be a delayed Black Monday. Today we've had a few, but there could be more after the playoffs.
Yeah, so tell me this. Let's just kind of dig into that a little bit, right? So we know that maybe, you know, Staley had a bad decision. That's what people worry about, right? When we had Herm on, he said, you play everybody, but this is why, right? Mm-hmm. Mike Williams is extremely important to them. Joey Bosa is extremely important to them. And Staley decided to play them even after they knew that they were locked into the fifth seed before the kickoff. So you're saying this potentially could cost him his job. How hot was his seat before the season started?
Well, I don't necessarily think that would cost him his job by any stretch. And most people I talk to think he's fine, but I would say Sean Payton, everybody knows.
That's what I'm saying.
The worst kept secret, but that's the job he would want. So if he wants to stay patient on Denver and these other opportunities, this would probably be why. Or maybe the Rams, if Sean McVay moves on.
It's because
oh, go ahead.
No. You're the guest. I apologize.
No. So, if the Chargers lose, would they move on? I don't think so, but certainly there's a possibility. Dallas, too, though. I mean, that's an option. If they lose again, 3 years no playoff wins, it might not matter how many regular season wins Mike McCarthy's gotten.
So, what job is more attractive, and how much power? Because now we know that Cliff Kingsbury is out and. You know, it's like they gave up a king. They paid everybody, and they can't get rid of Kyler Murray. But yet, this is the organization that drafted Josh Rosen and then drafted Kyler Murray the next year.
Yeah.
They have the third overall pick. We're assuming that maybe Chicago likes Justin Fields enough to keep him. And if they go defensive, they could be sitting there staring at Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. Could we potentially see them go in on a young quarterback?
Well, which team are you talking about, Arizona?
Arizona.
I don't think so yet. Depending on how the draft fell, if they loved a guy there, certainly it never hurts to draft one, even if you have one. You know, I think some teams are subscribing to that. But the Cardinals, with Kyler Murray and the money they have tied to him, he would probably be tough to trade or release right now. So for me, based on all I've heard, it's most likely him for another year. And, if they talk to a team and there's an offer there they could entertain, I think they would do it. But for the most part, they're going to try to get a coach who can bring out the best in him. He and Cliff Kingsbury just did not see eye to eye. The tension was palpable, you know. So they want to get somebody who can maybe get him some traditional high formation stuff mixed in with what he already does.
Yeah, it's just see if they could just make it work because they did invest in him. We're talking about ESPN NFL Insider. It's Jeremy Fowler with the latest on what's going on around the league, which includes now five openings, at least a head coach in the NFL. And here in New York, the belief is that they aren't going to make major changes with the Jets, but there feels like there has to be something done, at least at quarterback going into next year. There are names that we're hearing that are potentially going to be available in the offseason. Is there one or two that you're hearing that would likely top the list? Like, this is a quarterback that you're going to want to go get because he's going to be available.
Well, it really depends on how you feel about Derek Carr, you know, because he's available. We know he's available. And that could be an option for them. You know, he's a player that a year ago some considered a top 10 quarterback. He's probably not there right now after the season he's had. But, you know, that's something the Jets could look into. I mean, I think they're going to look at all options on offense from the coaching staff and the quarterback position. But at least for now, it seems like they're going to keep Dak Wilson on the roster, even if it's just for developmental purposes, you know. But you're going to have Tom Brady out there. Depending on what happens with, you know, Lamar Jackson, some of these free agents, Jimmy Garoppolo, like, there'll be some options for them.
Now,
I didn't hear you say Aaron Rodgers.
To the Jets?
Well, I mean, we like former MVP quarterbacks from Green Bay.
It's happened before. Who's to say it can't happen again?
Yeah, that's true. I'll never rule anything out. I don't know. Aaron and how long he's been in the league, I just don't know if he's going to say the Jets is going to go on, you know?
Right.
Like, he could have maybe a stronger pick. Even if the Jets have some pieces and a good defense, I don't see it. But, you know, look, I think he's open to the Packers wanting to go with the young guy at this point. That seems pretty obvious from his comments. So
right.
He'd probably be willing to explore some of that.
You know, we didn't really jump on maybe some potentially surprising seats. I know, like, you know, Black Monday is a day that, you know, we expect instant, like, okay, firings. But sometimes it's some surprises. And, you know, we haven't really talked about Dennis Allen and down in the Saints, who had a disappointing year that couldn't win a division that was very winnable this year. And we haven't really talked about Riverboat Ron in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, are these some potential maybe surprises? If there are going to be surprises, are we sure that they're, you know, solid? Have they got the vote of confidence from their owners and come out and say that they're safe?
Not yet. We haven't heard that yet. I think from what I'm hearing, Washington would be a bit of a surprise if they moved on from Ron Rivera right now. Certainly possible, but I think he's going to meet with the ownership later this week. And you know, from what I'm hearing, the expectation is that he'll be safe. But they haven't had a winning season in 3 years. So, but Daniel Snyder, if he's looking to sell the team, it doesn't make a lot of prudent sense to fire a coaching staff and have a lot of turmoil leading up to that sale.
And another team that needs
to figure. So that could bode well for.
Yeah, another team that needs to figure out quarterback, right? Like, it just feels like any place that has that lack of stability, it's mainly because the quarterback position is one that's so up in the air. Yeah. Jeremy Fowler, let's talk Coach of the Year candidates now that the season is over, the regular season is over. Here in New York, a lot of people feel Brian Daboll has done an unbelievable job taking the Giants from where they were a year ago, and now they're in the playoffs playing against the Vikings. But I know there's some other names as well that are going to be in competition for it. I mean, Pete Carroll, what he did with the Seahawks.
Doug Peterson.
Dan Campbell, Doug Peterson. Mike Tomlin with a winning record.
He won a division. So, you know, Peterson won a division.
From your perspective, your expertise, who do you think tops the list?
Ooh, you know, we're called the 9-8 club, right? A lot of those coaches you mentioned finished 9-8.
True.
Overachieved probably by at least a few wins. Man, you can make a case for any of them. I'll start with Dan Campbell. I mean, look, they were 1-6. And this is a team that's been really bad for a while. And, you know, like Jared Goff, a lot of questions about him. They came out hot. And that defense was supposed to be another year away. They came along. I'd probably still go Daboll 1, though. There was not a lot of expected out of Daniel Jones and that crew, you know. And at least with Jacksonville, Doug Peterson, he's done a great job. But you have a number one pick. You have a lot of pieces they added in free agency. I feel like Daboll probably did more with less than anybody else in the league.
Yeah.
And Tomlin's right there, too. I mean, you can pick all four of those guys.
Kenny Galladay caught a touchdown. Wow.
I look at it more like, funny, too. Go ahead.
He made a catch that he would have made in Detroit, like they got him paid. Like, he can still do. I'm not saying he's like a key guy anymore, but like red zone target, like, he was always that. Put him in the game when you're at the 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It only cost you $71 million to get a touchdown.
That's the only problem is you're paying him just to do that. But still, considering Pete Carroll is doing what he did with Geno Smith as his quarterback, like that was the answer after Russell Wilson leaves. You get the best quarterback play you've gotten in years.
And you get a fourth-round pick for
it. That to me is another one where you can make the case. Hey, Jeremy, always
good. Division, too.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. Always great to catch up with you, my man. I know it's a busy day. Thanks so much for the insight, as always.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN NFL insider on the latest of what's going on and what is obviously always a very busy day.
Dallas.
In the NFL.
He put Dallas season on call. It could be Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's not because you're not a good coach or a solid coach, but Sean Payton in people's eyes are such better of an option. So even if they like you a little bit, if they don't love you, you should have your antennas up. And the fact that he openly said that he likes that job while he was
Chargers.
On Fox. He liked the Chargers job. Mm-hmm. So you talk about tampering.
But if you're Jerry Jones, and Jerry always gets what he wants, I mean, Jerry doesn't want to wait any longer for a championship. That's what we play for.
Well, he ain't got too much longer.
We don't.
He on deck.
We don't play to just get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
We play to win.
Suck on that. We're going to suck on that all week.
So that's one. If you're Jerry Jones and you feel like, wait, I don't know if I'm ready to let that guy go to another team if I can get him. So a lot to watch for there. But I agree with him on Dable. I think Dable certainly is. All right. So now on the screen, Bart showing me the second run back.
Why right there?
But yeah. Just that was almost like when you're running for the subway and you bump into somebody, you're like, oh, excuse me. Like that literally was that way. A simple shoulder bump. Both guys stopped and I'm going to keep going this way. Yeah. You go that way. Yeah.
Kickers aren't
that
people.
Was some game. Yeah, are the Bills, let me ask you this. Are the Bills, it's Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Are the Bills I know they're not the favorite, right, to get to the Super Bowl because the Chiefs
not
are.
Not even close, not even close.
But are the Bills this emotional kind of like, do you look at them now and go, man, they look like a team of destiny. Like
They're like a team that can get upset quickly.
What you saw against the Patriots told you that?
I mean, it took two kickoff returns.
And an unbelievable catch by Brown. Like that catch by Brown was ridiculous. Yeah.
It took all of that, and the Patriots was right there with mac and cheese.
The Bills secondary is just not like.
And now with Hamlin, he is a member of the secondary, so it gets right. even. It gets
and he
even
was already more. Filling in.
He was the second leading tackle on the team, even mm-hmm. after not starting the season. Poyer's beat up. He's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can get upset. They can lose to the Dolphins. If Tua comes back, the way that the Dolphins ran the ball up there when it was cold, they were right there to beat him then.
By the way, the way Mostert ran that ball, like...
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, of course he's always hurt. He's hurt again. He didn't finish the game with the Jets.
No.
Yeah. It's either going to be Teddy Two Gloves or,
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Tua.
We might.
You can't.
So if you can't, then I don't you know. No. So listen, if you're saying you can't.
They're like, it's been 3 weeks since that second concussion. It's been two concussions, man.
If you're saying, no, I think he's on three. This is third.
In this season?
Yeah, he's had three.
I thought it was two this
remember,
season.
Remember, it's the one that they say it wasn't a concussion.
Oh, and you want to do that?
No, the first one, remember? Because we knew it was a concussion because he got the concussion in Buffalo against the Bengals.
Yes.
And then this one that they say it wasn't a concussion, that turned out he had concussion symptoms, that's three.
Well, I kind of feel like that first concussion and the second concussion when he was hit and he was frozen.
One. You can't count that as one.
Why can't you? It's the same one.
No, because it was maybe a mild concussion there. That was a bit. No. Remember, because we said he had a concussion. They said, no, he don't have a concussion. And then he played.
Yeah.
And then it was so that lets
Yeah, remember know. McDaniel told us he was sitting on the plane with him. They were playing like Uno or something?
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, stop it.
This season marks the 50th anniversary of New York Islanders hockey. It has helped celebrate. What are you laughing at?
Not even gonna go there. I'm about to say he was playing Uno, talk about draw four, skip you like that's a two. What do you mean skip me?
Do you make up your own rules when you play Uno? Like I make up rules like if you get like a
draw four, skip you, reverse to me, draw four, uno out.
I play it like if you put down a draw two, if I have a draw two and I put it down, the next person has to draw four. But if you have a draw, the next person has to draw six.
Man, I don't know what the hell you
That do. Is so no, much no, nah, come yeah. on, it's so much better that way.
No, you listen, I don't want to play a marathon game. Listen, bro, I got stuff to do. I can't play Uno with you and you extending the
Somebody
game.
Somebody got half the hand in there. Yeah. Just holding on to it.
Draw two, draw four.
Let's get back to the Islanders and the 50th anniversary, because to help celebrate, we're giving away tickets to the January 14th matchup against the Montreal Canadiens at UBS Arena. To enter, download the free ESPN New York app, because you already have it, right, on your phone? Scroll down to contest, submit your entry there. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. Join in on the fun this season by grabbing your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Speaking of hockey, I made my coaching debut this weekend.
Ah.
So Callie is seven,
mm-hmm.
and there's a 8U team that they put together. The Islanders have this Islanders Girls Elite Program.
Mm-hmm.
And they normally it's a 10U, 12U, but because they don't let in New York, they don't allow like 7 and 8 year olds to play on a 10U team.
Yeah.
So there's nothing for them unless they just play on like a boys team, right. Which, for young girls, it's like fun to have them all grow up together. So they put together this team. And so the first game was Saturday up in Danbury, Connecticut. And so we make the trek up there. Yes, I drove 2 hours for a 7-year-old to play hockey.
Hey, that's what dads do.
But y'all forget that my son, we were doing that for 20 years with him. Right. Like he, so we're used to this. So we're up there. Now, they have a coach, but he got sick.
Ah.
So they're like, they need somebody to fill in. And so they reached out and asked me, hey, would you mind coaching? So I was like, yeah, sure. I'll do it. It sounds like fun. So there I am on the bench.
Right, right. How many people was like, eh? And you were the only one that said yes.
No, I was all.
Were you the first choice?
What are you trying to say? That they really? I believe I was.
Let's just stick with
that. Now, I had another dad help me out, Frank. He helped me out. Okay. And he actually, thank God he was there, because I couldn't figure out lines. Like, I was a disaster.
Was this like
girls were like, wait, like, I didn't play. Like, what, I was trying
like Hoosier? Was this like Hoosier?
Yes. Yes.
Got you.
Yeah. I needed the assistant to help me through it. But it was fun. It was so much fun. It was really, coaching girls is, being a girl dad, as you know.
Yeah.
Is just a different experience.
She went for 20, by the way, the other day.
Did she?
Yeah.
Nice. Baby. Double double?
She baby D out there.
Like that.
6'1", 210.
Shaq of the Mac. Let him know.
She's a little Z-Bo. She ain't got no ups.
Hey, Z-Bo was able to figure it out, though. Hey, it's all right, though, because if she can't jump high, she can't hurt her knee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we already been through that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So anyways, it was a ton of fun. The next day, then, Callie plays after that experience, which was fun because she was one of the youngest ones there. It was really competitive. It was really fun. The Danbury people, the hat tricks, they were great. The coach there was really cool. And the girls, it was a really competitive game.
Are you allowed to check?
No, but there is contact.
Okay.
Especially when Callie, my daughter.
That's what I'm saying. She's a monster. It's in her blood.
They think she's 10.
Right.
She's 7.
Yeah, I'm used to that. Because
she's so tall.
Yeah, mom's tall too.
Yeah. So, yeah, and when she scores, she sellies like every single one. Like, she was at 5 goals yesterday.
Ooh.
And after 5, I'm like, Callie, enough.
No,
like,
hell no. Don't know. Hell no. They tried that.
She's doing Timo Solani, throw the glove in the air and shoot it down.
Yes.
She's doing the one leg. Yes. I'll show you a video. It's hysterical.
Next time.
She can't stop celebrating.
Since you know she's this, that good, and you know she's probably going to go for 3 goals. So instead of like having hats, and, you know, in Detroit, where I'm from, we throw the octopi.
Yes, you do.
We throw the octopus.
Yes, you do.
So you can't do it. So I'm telling you, go get some minnows. And every time you go out there, you just throw buckets of minnows on the ice.
That's the fastest way for me to get thrown out.
But she'll love you for it.
Oh, she already loves me.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Right now, there's a lot going on. This is a very busy day. Not just in the NFL, but in sports. We have the college championship game tonight. The national championship. TCU.
Max Duggan.
Georgia.
Sent my rubber rings home, man. I'm still soft about that, but.
Still.
C.J. Stroud ran the ball up and down the field on them. Let's see what Max does, because that's what he does best.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dual threat guy.
Georgia's second half, they locked it down, though.
Two of the oldest. It was coming down to the last wire.
No, I mean,
if Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't get hurt, Ohio State would be in the national. They would be in the national championship.
You believe that? Yeah,
it wasn't even close. Yeah, that was dirty too.
Yeah, that was nasty. So we'll get into that. That's tonight on ESPN, of course. We'll get into that probably at the end of the show. Just quickly on the Nets. So Kevin Durant, again, a lot of stuff going on yesterday, and the Nets are playing. Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler fell into his leg.
Yeah.
Those are the scariest ones because you don't see it coming.
MCL, PCL.
And it's an MCL sprain, so he's out. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But Woj reporting that they don't feel like it's as severe as last year when he was basically out for a month. When he was out, they went in the tank.
Yeah.
So so important to him. He was climbing into the MVP conversation.
I think he's still there. I don't think 2 weeks will take him out of it.
No. I don't think it takes him out of the conversation. But what I'm saying is, though, you'll see how much he does for them with these couple of weeks now that he's going to miss. And remember, they said reevaluate right. 2 weeks.
Now, I've had MCL injuries. For everybody out there that doesn't understand, the MCL is like
medial collateral ligament.
But the placement of it, you have two of them. Mm-hmm. One on the inside of your knee, and it goes from the top of your kneecap right. to the side. And what it does is it keeps the bone from going left to right. So the knee from going left to right,
it keeps it stable. Yeah.
It's like a little rubber band. And when it gets stretched out, you feel like your leg, when you're running, is swinging out, even though it may not. It feels like it's swinging out.
Yes.
And it doesn't always tighten back up quickly. So it'd be interesting. He'll probably going to have to play with a knee sleeve. I doubt if he plays with a knee brace, but some type of knee sleeve.
To
keep it tight and try and help to give some stability.
The thing with the sprain, of course, is the balance in your shot. Yeah. And if you've got an issue with one of your legs, it generally can affect your ability to shoot the basketball, drive to the rim, all those things that you know.
Compensation too.
And the compensation part of it, right? But, and he's already had some knee issues the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And obviously the Achilles. So these are things that you give him more time.
Yeah.
And you don't rush him back, especially in the middle of the season
Was the Eastern Conference Player of the Month? He had to be, right?
I mean,
he's been putting up.
He's been great. Yeah, but he's been great. Embiid's been great, too,
He's been averaging, like, what, 29 points, mm-hmm. I believe.
But no, he's been phenomenal.
If you look up, now it's an opportunity for Kyrie, who stepped up yesterday, hit some big shots.
Yeah, well, they won that game. 102-101 over the Heat.
Royce O'Neal, you know, last second coming out. But Kyrie's been averaging 28 points, too.
Yeah.
Can't wait till they pay him the Supermax.
He's one of, by the way, it's again, number one in the guard voting in the East. The fans want to see him in the All-Star game. That'll be something. All right, so we'll get to your calls and more, of course, on what's going on with the Jets and where they head from here. You'll hear from Robert Saleh, of course. But let's get into what we like to do around this time. When we step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment, we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
The music is back.
Ah. Bing, bing.
That's right. The Audio Files bed that we couldn't use when we were on network.
Yeah.
Is back. So with that in mind, let's talk about, of course, the play that is just one of those things. Like, I'm a very spiritual person. Like, I'm, you know, again, I don't try to push any of that stuff, religion and stuff like that on people. But for me, like, I see things and I think, all right, that's divine intervention.
Yep.
Like, I feel that way about some things. And sports is one of those places where you see things and you're like, man, damn, that... there's some head of God happening here. The very first play for the Buffalo Bills, the very first play they were involved in after DeMar Hamlin went down, had cardiac arrest on a field, was something that you had to see to believe.
Folk puts his foot into the ball. It's going to be short. Fielded at the 4 by Hines. Coming straight up the middle to the 20. Cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40. 50. Down to the 40. 35. 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Nyheim Hines. 96 yards. Run, run as fast as you can. You're not catching Hines. He's your end zone man. Buffalo on the board with the first play from scrimmage.
Bills Radio Network, that's Chris Brown on the call, and I probably could have done without the run, run fast as you can part.
Yeah.
Probably could have laid out right there.
Yeah.
Let the crowd, let that motion. Like, I'm not telling anybody how to call a game, but that's one where I probably would have just let that, like, everybody knows how that feels. We didn't need that. Yeah.
Did he
was caught up in it.
Did he let the second one breathe?
I don't have the second one.
I know.
The first one is the one that is just remarkable.
Maybe he got better.
But it's the very next play they were involved in.
Yeah.
The very next play. That's incredible.
It is.
Considering where they were. And Josh Allen was feeling it. Let's hear from Josh Allen first.
Let's hear from Josh.
You know what? The truth, it was spiritual. It really was. Bone chilling. Like, it was special.
Spiritual. If you didn't feel a little something,
it's like a cheesy movie script on like Hallmark radio or TV or something. Like, you're like, man, come on, man, this is so corny.
Yeah,
but yeah,
so go out on a limb. What do you want to?
Oh yeah, I want to go out on a limb. I probably say that if I could bet with BetMGM, I would probably say that Hines wins Special Team Player of the Week.
That is definitely going out on a limb. Let's hear from Giants head coach Brian Daboll. Their season's not over. And I'll tell you what. So he didn't play his starters. He played his twos against the Eagles in an Eagles must-win game.
And
that was a grinder. You know?
It was important for Jalen Hurts to get some of that rust off.
Yes. Yes, it was. But Brian Daboll now having the opportunity to now just, you know, a full evaluation, his first regular season as a head coach.
Say we did enough to get to the postseason in terms of the evaluation of all that. That'll be another time and place. But I was proud of our guys, the way they competed today. And, you know, unfortunately, you came up short. You want to win every game, and the results weren't there, but all the process and the preparation, like it's been all year, has been good. So we're going to need our best this week.
Now, Jeremy Fowler was on with us before, and he kind of agrees, and I wonder if this will now become, you know, the consensus. Brian Daboll has done the most with the least. He should win Coach of the Year. He should. In his very first season, he should win Coach of the Year. You can make a case for other names, yes. And what Doug Peterson has done with Jacksonville is, again, that is something where you look and you go, wow, that's a hell of a job he did there. And watching Jacksonville yesterday, yo, like...
they can be dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, that's... that Trevor Lawrence now starting to look like the Trevor Lawrence that we thought...
looking like Justin Herbert.
We were expecting to see, you know, sunshine. But again, Pete Carroll with Geno Smith and the Seahawks after trading away.
Thought it was a rebuild year.
Right? You thought, all right, they moved on from Russell Wilson. There's a lot of names you could bring up. Dan Campbell. They didn't make the playoffs, but man, did they play their butts off.
If I had to buy stock in one team future,
Lions.
The Lions.
The Lyon. Okay, but what about buying stock in the New York Jets? Quinnen Williams, he has faith.
I definitely have faith in him, man. Just to see this organization going to the culture change that they have. I know, seeing the stat that they haven't re-signed a first-round draft pick in the last 7 to 10 years or something like that. But to see where this culture going, to see where we're going as a defense as a whole, man, I feel like I want to be a big part of that culture change. I want to be a big part of that New York Texas Chain 2.0 type thing, man. That's a big thing that means a lot to me in this organization.
I love the reference, New York Sack Exchange 2.0, going back to the Gasino days.
Yeah.
And Joe Klecko and Marty Lyons and company.
And Klecko's a finalist too, man. And I tell you what, I'm going to go out on another limb. I think Sauce and Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson to get second contracts.
But what about Quinnen?
Well, he's going to get that. Man, come on. They're talking Aaron Donald numbers.
Wow.
So that's Aaron Donald's like at $28 million. I say we'll settle at $25.
How good is he? How good is Quinnen Williams, and how good can he be? Has he hit his potential?
He's just scratching the surface because they found this is what he's able to do for the first year, having some type of protection in Carl Lawson, where they couldn't just double him and disrespect the DN and block that DN with a running back. So let's see what he can do as far if they get him a fat man, they get him sciatica, or you know. Who I think they should get. I think they should try and sign Dalvin Tomlinson.
Nobody knows. When you say sciatica, and we made the joke earlier, nobody has idea what we're talking about. We don't want Quinnen Williams to get sciatica. Let's make that clear.
Sayaki Ike from Baylor.
There you go.
He's a talented defensive nose tackle. Yeah. 6'4", 360.
Mm.
So, I mean, you talk about getting a Snacks Harrison type of guy that you have to hold that double team, which gives him more one-on-ones with the guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Dalvin Tomlinson is another player I would go get who everybody in New York is familiar with. He was with the Giants, and you know, he's going to be a free agent. Let's see if you can sign him away from Minnesota. But they have to get him some interior protection because the thing that the Jets lack on the defensive side was a big, heavy body, right? They didn't have anybody. Tomlinson Thompson is like 280. But listen, I think they signed him back, and he dropped back up the Brinks truck. But I think he's going to continue to get better. You know, we get worried around here when you pay a defensive tackle for the Jets. Because we've seen the Leonard Williams didn't work out.
Right.
And we saw the Muhammad Wilkerson didn't work out once he got the bag. Mm-hmm. But I think this guy's different, a lot of different character. I think he's here for the long haul, and he's a great locker room guy.
He definitely seems like a guy that's invested, that cares, and is definitely different than some of the names you mentioned in the past. All right, that's Audio Files.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Lots of calls to get to, and we will get to them. Bart, as we've been talking about this, so this is now the end of the season for the Jets. The Giants have a playoff game to come, and we will spend the rest of the week breaking all that stuff down. We're going to get some former Giants to join us, get really into this, because there is opportunity against the Vikings. We know this. But today is the day to eulogize a Jets season that had some promise at one point and ended with terrible disappointment. And so we're trying to figure out, what do they need to do? How do they fix this? Bart, you said you have a name. This one name that could really change the fortunes of this franchise. What is that name?
Well, before, let me preface with this is, like, the Jets need somebody that can be diverse that can, you know, because injuries are going to happen. And, you know, you hope to get Vera Tucker back. You hope Mekhi Becton comes back and he can stay healthy for 1 year. But you can't count on that. Max Mitchell coming back from the blood clocks. He's your swing tackle. I think you talk about solidifying the offensive line. You look at what, you know, the caller said, draft five offensive line, maybe two hits. It's a young man that's going to be made available that can't come up with a long-term deal with his current team. And they tried, and he said no. So he's from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I played with his dad.
Oh.
I think if they – and Joe Douglas knows him well, too, because he was there when his dad was with us.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Brown Jr., 27 mm-hmm. years old, four-time Pro Bowler. He's been a Pro Bowler at right tackle and left tackle. It was his father's dream that his son played left tackle. I've known him since he was probably around 4 years old. That's why he decided and told the Ravens that he wanted to leave, because he wanted to fulfill his father's prophecy, who we lost, you know, too soon. And him coming here playing left tackle allows Becton to be right tackle, Max Mitchell to be the swing guy. Fant can go. Dwayne Brown can go. He's 27 years old. He's always durable. He never really misses games. And he's a guy that can solidify whoever's playing quarterback. Could you imagine him next to Langton Thompson, two Pro Bowlers? Then on the right side, you can put Vera Tucker. At right guard.
Yeah.
And you also have, you know, him, you know, you have Becton at right guard. Problem fixed. Okay, I talked about earlier, you know, we talked about sciatica, but I think that Dalvin Tomlinson is a, you know, young 27 as well. Minnesota's going to try and fight to get him, but I think they can make him an offer that he can't refuse to come here and be the fat boy. You're going to lose Sheldon Rankins, money off the books. You're going to, you know, I think they probably talk to Carl Lawson and say, okay, it's time for Jermaine Johnson to graduate. I love me some Bryce Huff. They got depth there. They paid Franklin Myers there.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that. But then now you got a problem. The Jets, you know, you go fix the offensive line. You had issues with being able to run the football. And Breece Hall may come back and recover, like hopefully he recovers like Adrian Peterson, where he's back to form. But you can't count on that.
But you can expect to see him somewhere in the middle of the season. Yeah,
Well, I think he comes back before all that, because it'll be like 8 months and he'll be back. But you're going to bring him around slowly.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you're not going to see what we saw
August before that hit.
We're not going to see what that for a little while.
Well, you want to put him on a pitch count. You want him to be back stronger. So you need a veteran guy.
He's too young to just throw him back out there.
You want a veteran guy with a lot of tread left on his tires, a guy that understands about not sometimes being the lead singer,
mm-hmm.
but can still shine by being the backup if you give him a couple solos. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that's Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is going to be an outright free agent. They wouldn't trade him. He wanted to be traded.
Yeah.
They didn't use him a lot. He's been behind Chubb, and Chubb's been the number one guy. He was the guy. If he would never got in trouble with Kansas City, he was a guy that broke all type of rookie records. So if you go get him, he understands that. He's ready for the opportunity. He's a guy that you can build around. He's great in catching the ball as well. And when Breece comes back, he doesn't mind sharing. Might cost you about $7 million a year, but that's pocket change for a guy that can give you 1,000-plus yards rushing the ball, but also give you about 300 to 400, 500 receiving the ball.
It's interesting. So your plans make it sound like turn the Jets into a running team.
It's always should be a running team. When you think about what San Francisco does best, what do you think about when you talk about him, right? He's a Kyle Shanahan. His dad, Mike Shanahan, was all about what? We think about all the great running backs that he had back there that was no names until he made him. Even Terrell Davis, who was a sixth-round draft pick, Alandis Gary, like all the guys that he had back there. You think about Kubiak within that system. It was always about the running game. You know, it was always about the receiver second. And I think the Jets got to get to that, knowing that they have like a Rod Smith type of guy in Garrett Wilson. You got a number one guy out there. So utilize it that way.
So that's it.
I just fixed it. You're welcome.
Make the offensive line a lot stronger.
Or you can get Puka Ford, if you can't get Dalvin Thompson, you know, he's the fat boy from out there.
Why would Orlando
Brown,
though, like, he's with Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Why would he leave there?
Why wouldn't he sign a long-term deal there? Because they're not going to pay him that type of money. Same way they lost Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, they've
he
got,
want, he wants
they've got issues, obviously.
He wants, yeah, he wants to, I mean, whenever your quarterback's making a quarter of a billion or half a billion, then that's what it's going to be. And they got a lot of people they have to sign long-term there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if they couldn't get it done last year, you think they'll get more this year? Do you think they'll get it done this year?
Probably not. No. All right, let's leave this here, because I think a lot of people are going to want to react to this.
All right, let that
Orlando
marinate.
Brown
let
Jr.
Marinate.
Kareem Hunt. You're adding another obviously
Dalvin Thomason. You need a body,
and then obviously and then that's the other part of it as well. So you're all of your fixes have nothing to do with the quarterback position. But we all know that that also is something that needs to be done as certainly as well.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.